Let's pray together as we begin. Father God, we don't know what the year will bring, but we pray it would be a year where you bless us and change us and more like Jesus through your word. And pray you would start that this evening. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. Are you looking forward to 2021? I think it's pretty normal at the start of a new year to look forward to everything that might be in prospect, the opportunity a new year affords, the exciting things in store. We're already more than halfway through winter. That's good. So we've got the spring, if nothing else, the spring and the summer to look forward to. Perhaps actually we already have specific things, plans for the year ahead, big birthdays, weddings, anniversaries and such. And perhaps in this year of all years, we feel that just a bit more keenly after the weirdest and possibly the toughest year for many people. Frankly, the bar's set pretty low, isn't it? I'm looking forward to shaking someone's hand. There's plenty to look forward to in the year ahead. We mentioned New Year's resolutions. Hands up if you've made any New Year's resolutions. Not many. So those who have their hands up, keep them up if you're keeping them still. Well done. I haven't made any New Year's resolutions for a long time. Perhaps you think that's a little bit pathetic, a little defeatist. You probably have a point. And so this year, I make one resolution. And my prayer is that you'd join me in it as well. And that is to treasure and savor God's wonderful life-giving words. In his song and prayer of praise, King David begins by gushing forth about how God's wonderful creation has been showing off God's own glory since the dawn of creation. The Creator God is revealed by his creation. This seasonal snap, this wintry view, is courtesy of Paul Feasey, looking out of the back of his house over towards Jarvis Brook, over the gill there, a frosty scene. And the psalmist writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge." This one is courtesy of Pete Shaddock, an epic sunset over Ashdown Forest. You really don't have to go far to see God's glory on display. If you're Paul Feasey, you just go upstairs and look out the window. Creation reveals the splendor of the awesome, powerful Creator God. Not just reveals, but declares, proclaims. Creation positively shouts the wonders of the God who made them. And compared to David, these days we know vastly more about the heavens, the sky, the universe, the sun, the stars, than David could have ever hoped to know. Stat coming up, the sun is estimated to be about 4.5 billion years old. It looks pretty good for it. It's estimated that the sun consumes as much energy every second as mankind does in 100 million years, and it still has enough to keep going for another 4 billion years. So it's barely middle-aged, the sun. Imagine if David had known that when he wrote this psalm. Slight aside, but the point is that as the more we investigate this universe, this world, its order, its delicate balance, its sheer beauty, we ought to marvel all the more at the one who made it. Poignantly, though, it seems as though it's possible to ignore this grand chorus of praise. King David says, "They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them." Perhaps you know people, or even you yourself, from time to time, have enjoyed and appreciated outstanding scenes of nature's beauty, like those pictures we looked at a moment ago, without giving credit or praise to the one who orders every sunset or every murmuration of starlings, who placed each star in its position and set every planet on its orbit. And what a tragedy that is. It would be like going on a tour of amazing sights in the US, and you drive up to the sign for the Grand Canyon and you stare awestruck at the sign, and you get out your car, take a little selfie next to the sign for the Grand Canyon without going and seeing the spectacle of the canyon itself. A tragedy. I learned this morning that another David, not King David, Sir David Attenborough, has a new series starting this evening called Perfect Planets. BBC One, 8 o'clock. Don't hang around after the service and talk to each other. Go home, watch Sir David Attenborough's new series. He observes the many and delicately balanced factors that allow life on our planet to thrive. And then he chalks it up to a wonderful work of nature. Nature, according to Sir David, is its own creator and sustainer. And that's a tragic misunderstanding. The world that God has made is like his signpost to everyone. It's available to all. Their voice goes out to the ends of the world. And more than that, it's for the blessing of all. Nothing is deprived of the sun's warmth. So do watch Sir David's show, but resist the urge to marvel only at creation. Join instead with King David in praising the Maker. The Creator God is revealed by his creation and blesses the world through his creation. The Creator's majesty is revealed by his creation. King David's anthem of praise then takes it up a notch as he sings of our Father God's self-revelation in his words. If the powerful Creator God is revealed in his creation, well then the loving, personal Lord and Father reveals himself as he speaks to his people. Notice how in the first section, the section we were just looking at, where God is revealed in creation, God is referred to as God's. But in this next section, verses 7 to 9, where God himself speaks, or we look at the speech of God, he is Lord. Six times, in case we missed it the first five. And when we see Lord in lower caps, like we have in, in small caps, like we have in our English Bibles, that's the English rendering for the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's the personal name for God. The name that he revealed to Moses before he rescued the Israelites from Egypt. And so in these verses, we're being reminded again and again and again that the mighty, awesome creator of the cosmos is also the loving, saving, covenant-making Father who speaks to the people he's saved for his own. And see how good are the words of Yahweh, the Lord's our Father, refreshing the soul, making wise the simple, giving joy to the heart, giving light to the eyes, enduring forever. All of them are righteous. It's quite the advert, isn't it? What's not to like? Giving light to the eyes, it's a step up from what Specsavers can offer. Enduring forever. I can tell you that at least one of Harry's gifts, that's our two-year-old son, didn't make it past 48 hours unscathed, and that's just the one I know about. All of them are righteous. Can we say that about the other voices that we sometimes listen to? And who are the voices that we find ourselves listening to instead? With words like these from our Father in heaven, what cheap imitations capture our attention and affections in its place? We ought, with sober reflection, to recognize that we are in danger of doing precisely that. I wonder if any of those descriptions of God's words in verses 7 to 9 sounded familiar to you. In particular, refreshing the soul, making wise the simple, giving light to the eyes. What if we were to rephrase them slightly? What if we said that the word of the Lord is good for food, pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom? You see, it's the mistake that Adam and Eve make in Genesis 3, isn't it, in the garden, thinking that these things could come from anywhere other than God's good words. And so we would be wise to be aware of that danger for ourselves, to be aware of our own susceptibility to listening to other voices, to desire other things, to treasure other values, to worship other gods. To do so sacrifices joy for our hearts, and in its place, shame. Righteousness is replaced with sin, and ultimately, enduring forever is replaced with death. Now, it's a glimpse into my psyche that I've taken this outpouring of praise and shown you the negatives. Apologies for that. But I hope that in seeing the opposites, it helps to throw into sharper focus the gloriousness of what King David is showing us. Refreshment for our souls, joy for our hearts, eternal life. These things are found in God's word and there alone. Accept no substitutes. Our loving Lord speaks his life-giving word to his people. So, will we treasure it? Will we savor it? I wonder what your best present was this Christmas. Perhaps once you've called that to mind, consider this. Would you trade it for the world's purest gold? In case you're wondering, I checked just the other day, and pure gold was trading at around £45 per gram, which makes it about 10 times the price by weight of the iPhone 12. Would you trade purest gold to own this book? Would you trade even your iPhone 12? Other smartphone devices are available. Do you, by comparison, how much attention do you give your iPhone or whatever compared to God's words? I wonder what your best dessert was over this festive period. Perhaps you're the traditional type, Christmas cake, Christmas pudding, mince pies. Or maybe you're a little more renegade, like a member of my family, who this was their creation. Apparently, it's a, I want to get this right, it's a mint Aero and mint Malteser button cheesecake. I didn't even know there were mint Malteser buttons. Would you forego this or your favorite desserts for time hearing from your Heavenly Father? Would I? King David says we really ought to. More precious than gold, more flavorsome than the most decadent of desserts, refreshing the soul, giving joy to the heart. In keeping God's commands, there is great rewards. And in his humility, King David can see the warning in the Lord's perfect law. It shows us that we miss the mark. As he reflects on the righteous commands of God, David is left aware of our need, his need and our need for the things he asks for next. Forgiveness, forgive my hidden faults. Help, keep your servant also from willful sins. Innocence, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And notice how it's God who does these things. They don't depend on King David's. They don't depend on us. They are granted. They are gifted by our generous, gracious Father. And on that basis, he can declare us innocent of our faithlessness and failures. And having been declared innocent, King David can then dare to ask the Lord to find pleasure in his words. It's an amazing close to the psalm, isn't it? Having listened attentively to and trusted in him who is gracious to forgive our hidden faults and willful sins, we might also be people who reflect God's own character. And so then our words and thoughts might then be good and trustworthy and pure. And of course, we have an advantage over David's. We have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back in history and we can know how it is that the Lord can forgive us, how he can declare sinful people innocent. It's because of the Lord Jesus' death to pay the price for sin. His life lived in perfect obedience to the law of the Lord. Jesus is the bridegroom of heaven, the bridegroom of the church, who left the heavens and ran his course to the cross with joy to be our Redeemer. In the first chapter of his Gospel, John tells us that Jesus is the Word become flesh, who made his dwelling amongst us, and he is the one who perfectly reveals the Father. The writer of the Hebrews reminds us that after speaking in various ways in the past, Jesus is God's final and complete word and revelation of himself. And the writer of the Hebrews then goes on to challenge us. He gives us a challenge which we really ought to ponder at the start of this new year. Will we hear his voice? Today, and in this new year of 2021, will we hear God's voice? Will we treasure and savor the word of our personal covenant-making Father, revealed in his creation, revealed in his words, and revealed finally, perfectly, in his Son? Even if, like me, New Year's resolutions aren't your thing, why not make an exception this year? Whether personal Bible reading in 2020 was a real highlight or a bit of a letdown, why not take a minute this evening to consider your daily schedule and make sure you're always spending time with the Father in his Word every day? Why not check the diary and make sure that house group is booked in as a non-negotiable, or join a house group? I guess perhaps some of us will have the practicalities ironed out already, at least for the most part. Well, then perhaps for you, the prayer is that God would add delight to discipline, that he would show us the beauty and surpassing worth and tastiness of his ways, his words. That we wouldn't just pay attention to him, but we'd love to hear his truth because we trust it's for our goods. And we'd reject the ideas that the world shouts at us to the contrary. Maybe, and perhaps probably, there are particular areas for each of us where we're holding God's words at arm's reach. Maybe, and perhaps particularly if you're not yet a Christian, signing up to the Life Explored course would be a great thing to do. That starts Tuesday week. And what a great way to start giving attention to the one to whom all creation is a signpost. King David guarantees us it will be time well spent as our souls are refreshed and our hearts are gladdened, as we're reminded of all the Lord Jesus has done to guarantee that we can be declared blameless on account of his life lived and given in our place, and empowering us to live lives that are pleasing to God. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you speak. Thank you that you speak to a sinful, impure people to turn our hearts back to you and give us life. Please would we be people who cherish and desire your words. Please would you plant and grow that desire in each of us. Please would you cause our love for and trust in the Lord Jesus to grow more and more. And as your people, freely forgiven and declared innocent because of Jesus' death in our place, please grow us into the likeness of Jesus in full obedience to your perfect word, so that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your gracious sight. Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.